Sailors, decloaking off the starboard bow. That was a warning.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hi, this is our very quick miniskirt cast. It is 10:05 Central Time on Friday, January 16th. And we just finished watching
Battlestar Galactica.
That was very quiet. We just finished watching the 0.5 season premiere of The End.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of the end, as it were. And I have to say, in the immortal words of Pump Up the Volumes, Happy Harry Hardon, I would like to say that I'm really depressed. I'm so depressed, I might shoot myself, but luckily I'm too depressed to bother. That's a quote, by the way, so don't anybody get any bad ideas. My gosh, I don't even feel bad about anything. I just don't feel. What do you think, Jen?
That was everything that Ron Moore said it would be.
I do feel like slinging my wrist right now. And I'm a generally happy person.
Don't do it.
I won't do it, but it's just like, I'm watching that episode and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. Or, oh my gosh, this is so horrible. I'm just like, yeah, that sucked.
Did you really think it sucked?
Well, okay.
Wait.
Let me qualify the word sucked with the fact that I don't mean it sucked like I thought it was absolutely horrible. I just thought that, I don't know how to explain it. Are we going to put a spoiler alert on this thing?
Yeah.
I guess we have to.
You have no idea what's happened to you. Huh? Today is just another day.
But Ellen Tai, come on. Really?
I've heard that prediction before.
I'll get you off.
Yeah, I mean, to anyone's credit, everyone has been pegged as a Cylon. So it's like, it's kind of like horse. If you bet on every single horse, you're going to win eventually. I don't know.
Okay.
So
you said she was anticlimactic.
Yeah.
And what happened to poor Dawala? What did you say about that?
Well, I did think that it was the only thing that made sense because some of the other things that were happening. Well, no, I get it. I mean, I get it, I guess. Probably shouldn't have had wine before this episode.
No.
About a week and a half ago, I had been working straight for like 18 hours a day. Probably glad I had a break before I watched this episode. Because that probably would have driven
me right over the edge.
Luckily, I'm in a relatively good mood right now. I've had a couple of cocktails.
I thought it was interesting when Starbuck and Leo Ben found her.
That was my favorite
fuselage.
Part.
The fuselage. And whenever they found the homing device or whatever.
The Kara.
And the number on the fin and all that. Dude. I was like, it's her ship.
Yeah, you totally called it. I have to say, Jen totally called it.
Well,
you
it was
did.
Obvious at that point.
It's I didn't think it was super obvious. I'm lame. Well, no, but you did call it.
I think we called something in previous episodes, though.
Yes.
And I will be digging those up to play them because we made predictions that have come true.
Yes, we have. That the final five are actually the original five-ish or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may not be like exact predictions, but that's something that I know that we said.
We did bring that up. And we also talked about the fact that I'm pretty sure, I'm going to have to look it up though, that the people on Earth were Cylons.
Action stations, set condition one throughout the ship. This is not a drill. Repeat, action stations.
even stuff we were speculating, I speculated that the final four or final five were like a pre-model. You know, somehow they had to be improved on, or they were too human, or they weren't human enough, and somehow the seven that are together now are all like a better version. I really hope that they don't, you know, lead everyone to Earth where we're all sitting here happy and then we get taken over by
Cylon.
But it's also, it goes back, this is my really dork side, but has anyone ever heard of Rossum's Universal Robots?
Mm-mm.
It's a, I actually did a report on it in grad school. It's the first sci-fi play ever written. And it's basically about it's about the same thing. I wish I knew. It was in the 20s. It was written in the 20s. And it's about a race of robots that are created. It's almost kind of like The Matrix, but it's very limited. You know, it's not a sci-fi, you know, visual. And it's about these robots that look like humans. And because obviously that's easier to portray on stage. Mm-hmm. And they all... They basically start, they start gaining a consciousness, and they realize that they're being oppressed, and they start refusing to do work. I mean, it's very much kind of the same idea. It's kind of a, you know, overall sci-fi idea. And at the very end, after the war, there are two robots left and no humans. And basically, the end of it is that the robots that look human are humans, and their names are Adam and Eve.
Oh.
And that's the end of that play. And so it's like, anyway, I've been thinking that during this whole, and I mean, I think, I would hope that most screenwriters would know this play because it's something that they teach in school, and it would be something that they would know about as one of the first sci-fi productions, kind of. And I would look it up. It's called Rossum's Universal Robots. I'm sure you can probably find it, or RUR. And it's this every time as we keep going through Battlestar, it makes me think about it because that's I'm thinking is one of the things. What if the only people that survive are the Cylons, and that's what we are? You know, that's kind of anyway. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yes, yeah, that was one of my predictions too. Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting all of that to come up in this first episode.
I don't know. I think that's kind of the point that Ron Moore is doing, is that like the whole time we've been waiting for Earth. Okay, now Earth's here. The whole time we've been waiting for the fifth Cylon. Now here
it's
we have
like,
the fifth
there
Cylon.
It is. Now what?
And
though?
So now what? And so that's kind of why I'm kind of, I don't know if depressed.
You think that's
I am
really
depressed.
It? Do you think that's it though? Is because we know there's a whole season left.
We know, well,
and
we know
we
there's
already
still
know
stuff.
Who the last Cylon is. We know that Earth is demolished. And
I'd have to see what happens now, but
people
again,
people are starting to die off.
I feel lame. Lame.
What is there
about the fifth
left
Cylon?
To do at
lame.
The end? I mean, what is there to hope for?
Yeah, that's what the problem is the absence of hope. Guess we can stop watching. No. No, we'll still watch. But I don't know. I'm just sort of... I am a little depressed, but maybe that's what he wanted. Maybe he wanted us all to be depressed. But I do... The thing about Dwala, and that's... I mean, the more I think about it, the more sad it is, because it's like she almost purposely put herself in a situation where happy was her last feeling.
What?
You're glowing.
Am I?
Oh, all I can think of is that waste of a planet.
Felix, please. I just want to hang on to this feeling for as long as I can.
And then she did it. Like, she waited until she was at a point where she was feeling good. And like, so, like, happy was her last feeling, and then she did it. And then she killed herself. It's almost worse than somebody who's just, like, in the depths, you know? If you're in the depths and you feel horrible and you're sad, like how she was when she first came on, when she was on the planet.
Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Just don't fall apart. Just don't.
You see movies where people, you know, do take their own lives, and you think, and you see them in the depths of something, like something horrible happens to them, and it's just like one thing after another, and you don't think it's going to get better, and you think this is the only way that's going to help. You know, the only thing that's going to help is to end it. You know, almost like how, almost how what Ty said when Ty and Adama were talking, and about how, don't you just want it to end? you know? And that seems to me to be an appropriate time. I mean, not that there's ever an appropriate time, but I hate to bring this back, but even Buffy, when she sacrificed herself in season 5, she didn't do it on purpose. She had to sacrifice herself because there was other stuff going on that was central to the plot. So it wasn't like she sacrificed herself for no reason. But even she even said, you know, she just wants it to end. I keep doing this, and it's this battle I'm constantly fighting, and I just want it to be over because I'm so tired being in that. And that makes sense. You would almost, as much as you don't want it to happen, you would almost understand, I guess.
Yeah.
It's hard for anybody to understand, really. But, like, you can see somebody, like, stair-stepping to that point. Like, how Adama, when Adama and Ty were talking, you can see him stair-stepping to, yeah, this is a good idea in his mind. You can see how he would think that. But in with Dawala, what she did, I think that was, like, oh, I don't know if that was good or bad. I don't know if that was just, like, a genius move or...
A speechless move.
Yeah.
I think that was really, it's like, I'll never be able to understand that because I've never been like that depressed, but she lost Lee, but she seemed to have gotten him back in that moment.
That is the best fun I have had in a long, long time. Thank you for that.
But maybe she sensed in that last kiss that it wasn't going to be.
No, I don't think she sensed that.
And then the whole thing with Earth was too much. There's always a new Caprica now that they're friends with the Cylons.
But if she had done it right after she'd gotten back from Earth, then I would have understood. But then again, I don't know. This is too much like girly thinking, but that's what Anomaly's about.
Yeah.
But but if you go into a situation where a guy who's hurt you before comes back to you, you go in wary, even if you want the relationship to happen. Probably she just realized she couldn't bear losing him again.
I don't know that this was in her character, but that it was selfish to take your life
totally
and leave
selfish.
Him in that position.
Well, that's
to...
I'm sorry, this is very preachy, but that's what suicide is. It's the most selfish act. But that's what's kind of mad, what I'm mad about with the episode.
Go on. Oh my God. That's why you came here to do this. You haven't got the fracking guts to do it yourself. I'm sorry, Bill. This is one time I can't help you.
The Admiral goes to Ty.
Yeah.
Trying to get him to kill him. He looked very crazy in that scene.
Yeah, it was scary. Awesome. But see, that's what's weird is we didn't have a moment. I guess I'm used to Battlestar having those moments of either extreme one way or the other. And that's what you go to Battlestar for, is these extremes.
There were highlights in the show.
There were highlights. Kara.
Kara.
Finding the
ship.
That was super.
And her body.
But then whatever was going on with her and Liabin, like, ended. And I was just getting used to her and him kind of figuring out things together and, like, thinking, okay, well, maybe Liabin's a crazy person, but at least he gets Kara. And maybe Kara can find out more about herself through Liabin.
He seemed afraid of her.
And he did seem afraid of her. And that made me mad because it's like here we finally get these two in a situation where their relationship is working. Relationship, I don't mean in like romantic way, but you know, they're whatever they are, you know. And I was kind of like, oh, well, at least she has somebody who kind of gets her or whatever. And then
he runs away.
Then
like
he
a chicken.
Runs away like a chicken. But to me, that was the highlight, was her finding that. But I'm not worried about Kara though.
She's the harbinger of death.
Evidently, yeah.
So the show starts out where she's saying, what am I, what am I, what am I, to Liabin.
If that's me lying there, then what am I? What am I? What am I?
and then takes her body, builds a pyre, and burns the body. You know, she's giving herself a proper burial.
That's what I think.
But in the same sense, wouldn't you think you'd want to take that body that you found that's supposedly you and have some tests done to find out what the heck is going on?
Yeah, but what if you think that means, because I don't know anything about Ellen yet, so what if you think that that means that somehow there's something wrong with you and you don't want to be locked up? You'd rather find it on your own. And maybe tell Lee, which is what she was going to do. You know, maybe tell one person rather than be in a situation where it's like, oh my gosh, here's my dead body. That's weird. Too bad I resurrected. Oops. You know, I mean, I don't think that would have been couth of her to do. Mm. But I think that you're right. I think that there was a certain amount of proper burial and like a small amount of destroying the evidence.
Do you think there were a lot of things that were forced in this episode?
I do.
I do too.
And especially when he was walking around and there were all the people like, we're very angry.
We're fighting. Look at us. We're fighting in the hall. Look, I'm on the floor crying and someone's
that just felt
soothing
so
me.
Contrived.
And, oh, what about Frack Earth? Painted on the wall in spray paint.
I'm sorry. I take issue. I call shenanigans on that one. I call shenanigans on the Frack Earth. Come on, seriously? Seriously? Because that would only been cool in the last few episodes before this one if they would have had, like, spray paint of stuff like Save Baltar or Baltar Saves. Like, if there had been
an ongoing
thing where people were, like, tagging the walls
all
with
the
stuff,
time.
You know.
Yeah.
Frodo lives or something like that. Like, and also the other thing that I thought was weird, now I'm thinking about it, is that when the chief had his like flashback or whatever, mm-hmm. it didn't really seem like Earth. Like it seemed like an alternate universe version. I was really hoping that whenever we had like visions of Earth, that it would be something we would really recognize. What's the word? The monkeys. Planet of the Apes, mm-hmm. where he goes and sees the Statue of Liberty buried,
dirty apes
or whatever. And I was hoping that there would be something so recognizable that we would know what happened, you know, that we would feel, but everything was so, you know, demolished. And, you know, there's some jacks or there's whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, it's Earth. I was just hoping there would be some kind of connection so that we could have some kind of context when they got to Earth as far as where and when. Like, okay, so they say that the nuclear war happened 2,000 years earlier. Well, okay. Like, I wanted more context and I wanted more connection.
Well, it's the first episode. I think they tried to give us
leaving.
Too much. This could just be a ploy.
Okay.
I think that they've given us way too much information in the first episode. Here's my question. If Earth was destroyed by a nuclear holocaust 2,000 years before they arrived.
Right.
Would there not be vegetation growing again after 2,000 years? Because if you think about it, what happened on Caprica mm-hmm. in the colonies, they were able to return and there was wildlife and people still there. And I know that the Cylons systematically destroyed cities so that they could come back and populate the Earth. But I mean, even Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Talking about this too. Is that like there's something
Chernobyl.
I watched about Chernobyl where even now, I mean, like how long ago was Chernobyl? I feel horrible not knowing that. But
70s?
So it was the 70s, and there is vegetation. There's wildlife, and there's vegetation there. There's animals and plants and all kinds of things. So I mean, I'm sure there's a point at which the planet could be completely destroyed. But of course, you know, this is Ron Moore's idea of what might happen. So I would need some information from someone who had more education. What would happen in 2,000 years? I mean, that would be a lot of nuclear bombs. We're not talking about like, I guess it would depend on, and if there are Cylons, other Cylons there, and the Cylons actually drop the bombs, or if they drop the bombs on each other, mm-hmm. or like what exactly happened? Like, you know, the Klingons come and attack them.
Well,
maybe
it looks like
maybe the Romulans or the Cardassians. I mean, they have some pretty badass. Sorry. Yeah, those disruptor weapons, I mean, they can mess you up.
Maybe it was a Thaleron generator.
Yeah, maybe so.
That's a call out to
our
friend
Eric. Or the main weapon on the Death Star.
Commence primary ignition.
Thank you. could do it.
Yeah.
That could do it.
But that would destroy the entire
planet.
That
would destroy the entire planet.
And make an
planet.
Asteroid field.
That's true. That's true. There wouldn't be any planet to go to.
What else could destroy it like
well
that?
Well played. Well played. Oh, there was that one episode of TNG where I think it was called True Q, the new Q chick, Olivia Diabo from TV's Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
And she, do you remember this episode?
I think
where she's
so.
A Q, but she doesn't know she's a Q,
yes,
but she
yes.
finds out. And then at the end, this planet is being destroyed, just like mm-hmm. you were talking about, like being burned mm-hmm. because it's getting too close to the sun. And she uses her Q powers to like bring it back.
So it could have been that.
So it could have been that we got too close to the sun, but there's still ocean.
Yeah.
So that can't be the case because, yeah, so I'm out.
So, Thaleron generator.
Yeah.
Which is a nod to Eric, our listener, who sent us a audio comment.
Golf clap.
It couldn't have been the Death Star because that would have created an asteroid field.
Exactly.
And I don't think Q's exist in this universe. So
could it have been like the what destroyed the dinosaurs?
An asteroid,
just a plain asteroid.
I think it was probably a nuclear blast.
Yeah, they said. Well, they said radiation. Yeah. Yeah, that was the whole thing. Hmm.
So,
anyway, so color us blue on this one. Sorry, guys. Sorry to depress everybody with our ideas. All right, I'm gonna have another glass of wine. How about you?
No.
Oh, come on. This is Angela,
and this is Jen.
You've been listening to Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
So you come home after a rough day at the office, have a drink, torrent the latest movie, make a sandwich, buy a human off eBay, listen to your favorite podcast, and not leave them any feedback. I know what you're thinking. Perfect night, right? Wrong. Go to iTunes and leave them some feedback. And that's something to think about.
Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly. Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog, and leave us a rating on iTunes. Hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. Or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's anomalypodcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world.